Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Thursday, December 9th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. Myself, Zach Smith, and Chris Drew, my co-host these early mornings. I guess not that early, but earlier than we usually put a show out, right? Before we get started, I want to mention we still have 14 squares left. If you want to support the Zone 6 Fund and get a square for charity, final score, halftime score, first quarter, third quarter, you name it, four games left, college football playoff semifinals, the national championship, and the Rose Bowl. I think I actually just sold one this morning, so 13 left. If you could do that so we could fill this board, help us raise money, we would appreciate it. Venmo, Cameron Media, or email me, Zach, at Menace to Sports. Also, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/ Menace to Sports. $5 a month, you get a custom RSS feed straight to your phone, so you don't have to wait for iTunes and Spotify to upload episodes, which takes forever. Just a way to support the show if you're interested. Also, we are giving away some merch. What'd you call it again, Chris? The Menace
Mystery Box.
The Menace Mystery Box. Might be a t-shirt, a hoodie. I don't even know yet, but we have a bunch of merch that we want to give away. So leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. I found out a bunch of people messaged me. I can't leave you 5 stars on Spotify. There's no way. I was like, oh shit. I figured you could rate a podcast. Like, what the fuck are we doing, Spotify? So if you are on iTunes, we are an Apple show, apparently. Leave us 5 stars. Drop a question for our Friday mailbag, and we will pick at least one winner, maybe more. I don't know. It's Christmas season. Might pick 5. You never know. It depends on how much money we want to spend. But we will pick a winner and send you some Menace merch. So make sure you do that. Also, Chris, I got a parlay.
Let's go.
I got slayed yesterday, so I'm glad I didn't give one out. But I got a parlay that I really like, and it's got great odds. So I love betting hockey. I don't know about if there's hockey fans out here, but I'm taking the Minnesota Wild on the road and the Dallas Stars on the road. Two road favorites, which is not usually a good idea in gambling, but I like this parlay. Minnesota Wild, Dallas Stars, $250 to win $465. So if you jump on my bookie using promo code Menace, you deposit $100, they give you $100, or $200, they give you $200. Get free money, play this parlay, $250. Literally, go deposit $250 right now and leave that money alone. Don't touch it. Use the free play that MyBookie gives you with the promo code Menace and bet all $250 on this parlay, and you'll have $465 sitting in a bank. I'm telling you, count it. Count it. And enough about that. That's the housekeeping that we had to talk about.
I have one more.
What do you
know?
Do you got?
Yeah. So you know that I've been going through some weird radio stuff at my job.
Oh, wild shit. People getting fired, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, man. Stuff's been going up here in Akron, and we have a bunch of tickets we're giving away. And right now I'm the only on-air personality at this on this particular station. And so, like, you know, we have way too many tickets. So if any of you guys are alt rock fans, or Jack Johnson fans, if you want a pair of tickets for Christmas to give away for whatever, text Flake to, let me pull up the number real quick. I should have that on me for sure. But yeah, text Flake, we're giving away tickets. And let me see real quick.
So you text the number and they get entered in a drawing, or do
they get entered in a drawing, but we have so many pairs of tickets that there's going to be a ton of winners.
Basically text you and you'll get tickets is essentially what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, I got
Jack Johnson's the best, man. Who doesn't like Jack Johnson?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So all you have to do is text Flake to 216-578-1073. I'll be in there. Like I said, it's only me giving away these tickets. So yeah, if you shoot that number, you can get a chance to win tickets. And I think the show is in the summertime too, so it'll be warm outside, and they should be pretty good tickets also. So giving away a bunch of tickets to that, and I might have more here in the next couple of days to give away too. So shoot that text, but if you want them, if you use them, I'll have them, and we're gonna give some away.
There you
that's
go.
All get I got, Zach.
Get some tickets. Get some free tickets. Text that number, and you'll get entered in, and you'll probably win. Yeah. But big news in the college football world. Corey Raymond, the infamous DB coach from LSU. I mean, people have talked about him, you know, coming to Ohio State, and I think it's just people just see his resume, and they think he's just the GOAT, right? But he is – And we've already talked about him, like how he wouldn't leave LSU. He's deep rooted in Louisiana. And
doesn't his wife have a big hospital job there in Louisiana also?
I think so. I'm not mm-hmm. too familiar with his wife, but I know he's been at LSU forever. And he literally has coached everyone, you know, from LSU. I mean, all the way back to the Honey Badger and, mm-hmm. and everyone. And he's a legend. I think he's been there since 2006.
Sheesh.
So he's been there for, what is that, 15 years. And now big news, Billy Napier snags Corey Raymond and he's going to the Florida Gators. And you talk about a massive hire. Billy Napier probably was the littlest splash in the coaching carousel for big time jobs. And I know, you know, there's a lot of, if you follow the Big Three Roll Up Network or whatever it is, the podcast, I was on it, you know, 3 years ago, and they're big Miami, Florida State podcast down there. And man, you talk about talking shit. Miami fans are going after Florida fans because they got the big splash hire and Mario Cristobal, and Florida hired little old Billy Napier. And so Florida's been getting a lot of shit for it because all these other jobs, I mean, they're backing up Brinks trucks and getting huge names. And Florida hired Billy Napier from Louisiana. But you talk about a big hire. He gets to Florida and hires Corey Raymond, steals him away from LSU, steals him away from Brian Kelly, big hire. And just goes to show you that Billy Napier's not playing around.
No, not playing at all, Brown at all. Corey Raymond's a name that obviously has been tied to OSU. Kind of they've been salivating at the mouth to, you know, at least fans have to get him on board for some time. I believe his wife is a decision maker or had been in the past, considered she has a really big-time job at a hospital there in Louisiana. And they've beaten Ohio State on plenty of recruits. I mean, Derek Davis was a guy that had LSU and Ohio State as his top two, and he was able to get that done. Obviously, Elias Ricks, but like you said, going back further, Derek Stingley, I mean, just DB after DB. They get them, they develop them, and Corey's kind of definitely a legend in the South. And Billy, who I think is a very good football coach, made probably one of the best hires we've seen so far in terms of assistant coaches. And getting a guy like Corey in a state like Florida, where there is so much talent, and you kind of let him go and just recruit and go be a dog, they're going to have a loaded defensive backs room if things go the way they should, Zach. So this is a big time hire, and I'm surprised because Corey was getting big time offers it's been getting big time offers for a long time, and the fact of the matter is he wouldn't go anywhere, and now that kind of speaks highly to the coach that I think Billy Napier could be over there, because he had offers from everywhere and then chose to go to Florida. So that's big time, man. That's big time. State of Florida football is a stock up, buy stock in that.
No doubt. And it's interesting because you look at a coach's journey. Well, I got two things for you. One is his journey, right? He was a high school coach. So he played at LSU. That's obviously an instant connection. Bounced around the NFL for a couple years. And then he ended up coaching high school football in Louisiana. And then he jumped from high school football to be a strength coach at LSU 2006, 7, and 8. Then he went to Utah State for a year, Nebraska for a year. Then LSU brought him back in 2012. So he's been the full-time DB coach, you know, all kinds of titles, recruiting coordinators and stuff like that for 9 years, and now he jumps to Florida. But here's the question for you, and I don't know the answer to this. He's either divorced or shady as shit. You pick, because his bio doesn't list a wife, but it lists he has 4 children. So if he does have a wife, Chris, he is not claiming her.
You know what? Maybe I botched this entirely, and I'm sorry if I blew up any spot or had misinformation. It's just kind of what I thought I may have heard, but it may have been from someone else. Sorry, Corey. And if I didn't mean to blow up the spot.
You know, you never know with these college coaches, as we've talked about several times on this show. Mm-hmm. But big hire, big splash hire. Florida gets a big win there. If nothing else, for headlines and recruiting, it's going to be huge. I don't know how he is as a football coach, but he's obviously well respected and has a good track record.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see those kids that were committed to him at LSU. First of all, what do they do in kind of this new college football wild west?
Yeah, and does Elias Ricks follow him, right?
That's exactly.
That's a big question. Like, the kid's in the portal, getting out of LSU, does he go to Florida? That'd mm-hmm. be an interesting development. And the question really then is Corey Raymond part of the reason he's leaving? And obviously Corey Raymond knows him intimately because mm-hmm. he was his coach this whole year. Does Corey Raymond take him, or is there some legit red flags where Corey Raymond's like, no, I'm not, that's too hot to handle, right? I think that'll be interesting to see. Does Florida even try to get in the race?
That's right.
So,
which they should. If Elias Ricks is as good as we think, as good as I think, they absolutely should. But I do think it's interesting that I believe Corey Raymond has been the one to kind of talk him out of the portal a couple times in the last year and a half. And now I guess there was no one to talk him from going to the portal. Probably got a hint of it. And I think that's I would not be surprised if he ended up at Florida, especially given the fact that Ohio State, for whatever reason, doesn't, you know, took themselves out of the sweepstakes, whether it's the shoulder injuries or whether it's the, you know, don't want to have kids transfer. I think that Florida would be a good fit for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. In other news, though, Chris, my guy, CJ, he just can't shut the fuck up. My God, I don't know. So everyone go on Twitter right now and tag Jerry Emig. Buckeye Notes, I think, is his Twitter. Tag him and say, what the fuck are you doing? Are you not giving this kid any PR training, like any interview training? I mean, just, it's awful. It's awful. And he's killing his brand. So let's talk about it on a bigger picture, right? Ohio State fans don't want to hear that shit. They don't want to hear the excuses. They want a warrior's mentality. This fucking kid won't shut up about his shoulder injury and the flu. It's just, no one wants to hear it, man. It's like the old school gladiator days. Like, we want to hear about how you're a badass, like Michael fucking Jordan. Like, you find out he had the flu a month after he, you know, put up career high numbers. Not we lost because of the flu. So he said, we lost two games this year. I don't think either of those teams are better than us. But you have to show those team respect, because college football is about which team is the best on that day. I hate to break it to you, CJ, but both those teams were better than you because they beat you. Like, just absurd he would say that. And then he said in another quote, his shoulder still isn't 100%, but it won't require surgery, right, mind you. He said, I've definitely had to do my maintenance and keep it right. My scapula is kind of still peeking out of my shoulder a little bit, but at the end of the day, I got to go out there and play. No one cares. Then why are you talking about it?
Right.
Like, I don't understand what he's doing. Talking about most of the team had the flu, guys missed practice. Like, he's making excuses for a loss. Is what he's doing.
And right? It's not like other players are coming out talking about it. I'm sure other players are pretty frustrated too about kind of the circumstances around it. But CJ's not the vocal leader of that team. So to hear him come out and say it, it's like, oh my goodness gracious. What we can't be doing this. It's like when a boxer loses a fight, gets beat really badly. And after the fight, they said, oh yeah, like, you know, my hand's broken. Like, you don't get to, after the fact, you don't get to do that. And additionally, having respect for the rivalry means taking it on the chin. Like, the simple fact of the matter is, he's acting like a Michigan kid. Like this is kind of what I'm used to seeing from the other side after all these beatdowns. You know, Michigan fans talking about, well, they're a football school. They do online classes. They're a football factory, you know, canceled because of COVID. You know, so-and-so and so-and-so, they cheated. The refs cheated. Like, that's right. JT was short. Exactly. That's the shit you're used to hearing from the other side. And it's like, I can like CJ Stroud. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. And understand, he needs to shut the fuck up. Like, that's just it. Shut the fuck up. Get in the lab. I mean, not one time did I hear Justin Fields, who probably had multiple cracked ribs, mention that one time after the Bama loss. I didn't hear him mention it one time.
Because that's bitch shit, right? That's you're being a bitch is what when you talk like that after you take a loss. Like, just own it, man up, move on. Simple as that. And then Michigan's running back Blake Corum popped off on Twitter to respond, you know, subtweeted. He didn't add him, which I think is a bitch move too. I can't stand that.
Right.
He said, excuses are tools of incompetence used to build bridges to nowhere and monuments of nothingness. And those who use them seldom specialize in anything else. Go Blue. And I hate to agree with him, but I do.
I agree with him, but fuck him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. But it's just unfortunate that you're and to get to the bigger picture here, not only do fans not want to hear it, they don't want to hear about the excuses. Nobody cares. And CJ said it. No one cares. Then why are you saying it? Why are you using that excuse? But it's like
saying, I don't want pity, but, you know, I lost this and this and I'm poor and I lost my job. It's like, whoa. Wait, like,
well, then why did you say all that if you don't want pity? You're exactly. Certainly inadvertently asking for pity.
You literally have both hands out asking for it.
Right. And my thing is, it not only does it, is it a bad look for the team, bad look for the program, bad look for the culture of the team? Because if that kid's saying that, you know that the whole locker room is saying that if he says it publicly, right? That's the first and foremost. But secondly, he's killing his brand. I mean, people are looking at him like a little bitch now. Like he's a little whiny, complaining bitch, and that's bad for his own brand. I mean, he's a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback at The Ohio State University, and a lot of the fans, I don't know, they don't really like him. I mean, because they like him when he throws the ball, but they don't like his demeanor. He's got a resting bitch face 24/7. He looks like he's a pouty, dopey, like Dopey the dwarf or whatever from Snow White. Yeah. That's what he looks like. You're like, what the fuck? Smile. Like, perk your cheekbones up a little bit. Like,
he always has that sad Eli manic face.
It's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you're not a very likable persona in the media. And it's just unfortunate because he could have the world by the balls. But he does shit like this, and you're like, oh man, that's gonna hurt. That's gonna hurt your overall brand.
And I like CJ. I think he's, like I said, supremely talented. I'm expecting him to be a first round draft pick. I think he throws a really good ball. I think he has like enormous upside as a quarterback. And people are gonna say, well, he's just a freshman. This that. Guys, do you understand that he's the same year as Justin Fields in Justin Fields' first year when Justin Fields busted up his knee and refused to stop playing?
Yeah,
like that's the same progression. So just because, you know, Justin Fields burnt his red shirt as a freshman because Georgia mismanages everything, I mean, they're the same, you know, same year. I need Mick to get him in there, and I need, if there's any inkling of an alpha in there, which I think there is, I think I've seen it in some of the Elite 11 stuff when he was competing directly with other quarterbacks. I need them to pull it out, like no numbing, just pull it out like teeth, man.
Yeah, he's got to be broken. He's got to be broken this offseason mentally, and he's got to be built back up. That's the only way to do it. I've seen it done. It's just a matter of will they, you know, a lot of times quarterbacks, they tread lightly with quarterbacks, especially when it's a quarterback that's a returning starter that played to the level CJ played at. It's tough to be hard on that kid in the offseason, but that's 100% what he needs. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no quarterback competition. Like, there's not going to be a quarterback controversy. So, if there's ever a time to break down a quarterback, it would be right now. Or else you're going to end up with a Spencer Rattler spinoff.
Yep. There's no doubt. But in other news, that is a current Buckeye and making statements in the media that are not sitting well with Buckeye Nation. Let's talk about a former Buckeye that made a statement in the media that is not sitting well with with Buckeye Nation. New head coach of Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, talk about a haymaker shot blow.
Definitely took the heavenly strike.
His alma mater. I mean, what are we talking about? So here was his statement. I visited, he's talking about Notre Dame. I visited this university for the first time when I was about 16 or 17 years old and was recruited to play here. I had a choice to make. And in the end, when it came down to it was Ohio State or Notre Dame, and I chose Ohio State. I love Tyrone Willingham, blah, 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 talks about all this stuff, talks about how he had an opportunity to pick between LSU and Notre Dame again, and he picked Notre Dame, and he said, something told us to come to Notre Dame. It was something. We all know there's something different about Notre Dame. We all know it's something special, and I just thank God I didn't make the wrong decision twice. Implying that he made the wrong decision to go to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I've never heard a Buckeye, former Buckeye, talk about this place like he did. A wrong decision. He would not be where he is. Like, you couldn't have made a more right decision. Never mind the fact that I know some of the shit Marcus Freeman did in college that got completely brushed under the rug because he was at Ohio State. Like, let's just start there. And secondly, he would have never been at Cincinnati with Luke Fickell if he didn't go to Ohio State and play for Luke Fickell. Like, what are we talking about? It was the best decision he ever made, was going to Ohio State. Great player, played in the NFL. His position coach hired him, made him the D coordinator, ran the defense for him. He gets the Notre Dame job after 1 year of above average defense. He's the freaking head coach at Notre Dame. Like, what are we talking about? Don't take shots at Ohio State. And I don't know if that's his way of like trying to build up his first game when they come to Ohio State and get their ass beat. Like, really odd flex by Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, you know, odd flexed. And additionally, you know, if he would have went to Notre Dame, he would have had a losing record. Like, Notre Dame was garbage when he was at Ohio State. Like, they were not good at all, Zach.
Yeah.
I think they were like 26 and 37 or something while he was there. Like, wow. at Ohio. So what is he talking about? Additionally, they took care of him. And in fact, when he was getting burned all over the field, I take that back. I'm a little bitter. When he was getting burned by USC, nobody said shit. We just, you know, we supported our Buckeye. And now he's out here talking crazy. Like, could you imagine if Luke Fickell ever spoke like that about Ohio State?
Never. Even after, you know, everyone really wanted to fire Luke and, you know,
ran Luke out of town.
They wanted to run Luke out of town. I mean, even after all that, he would have never. And I think about like my grandfather who got fired by Ohio State, like never would say an ill word about Ohio State or anyone there. I mean, not even in private, not even, you know, one-on-one as in a family setting, like never would say something negative about Ohio State because he genuinely loved Ohio State more than anything, maybe other than his family. And that's debatable. He might've loved Ohio State as much or more than his family. I mean, I just can't fathom it. I can't. I mean, I got fired by Ohio State, but I don't talk negatively about Ohio State. Only people I talk negatively about are people that were douchebags or assholes, like people, like individuals that I feel like are complete clowns. And that's only because I'm transparent and honest, brutally honest. But I've never said anything negative about Gene Smith. Anything negative I've said about Urban Meyer is just facts. I mean, I don't usually say negative things about him either because there's not much negative in there. I mean, he didn't handle my firing like a man. He handled it like a bitch. But other than that, I mean, I got no problems with him. And so I just can't understand it. Like if you have a passion for a place like he does Ohio State, I've been with Marcus Freeman at Ohio State when he was there at a camp, working a camp or just in the offseason, stopped in to see Luke and watch some film. Like he loves Ohio State. Why is he talking reckless?
Yeah, he's fronting for the camera. That's what he is. He is fronting for the camera. Because truth be told, if Ohio State wasn't in the national title last year, wasn't in the hunt, and they offered him a job, chances are he ends up at Ohio State, not Notre Dame.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. He would have made that same mistake twice if it was down to Ohio State or Notre Dame. There's no question he would have picked Ohio State. It's not even up for debate.
Yep.
So let's chill out with the don't make the same mistake twice. Because the reality is, Marcus, you didn't have an offer to come to Ohio State. So you couldn't make the same mistake twice because Ohio State didn't want you. So sorry. That's like me being like, oh man, I don't want to make the same mistake twice when it comes down to Megan Fox or, you know,
or Taylor Swift,
random girl in Powell, Ohio. Like, I don't want to make the same mistake twice. It's like, what? Megan Fox doesn't want you. Like, what do you mean? Ohio State never wanted to hire Marcus Freeman. What is he talking about?
Yeah, he is talking crazy and he knows. I mean, he's fronting for the camera. Notre Dame people are going to love it, and they're going to come out of the woodworks and take shots at Ohio State. And this is the cool thing about this, Zach, because he has to see us next year fucking bright and early.
Game one in the horseshoe. I think there will be no standing on the fence on that one after his comments. Not that there would have been, but after making those comments, people will gladly enjoy beating his ass and his team's ass. That's for sure. But talk to me about this. I saw this news, and I don't follow recruiting like you do, Chris. This DB that reclassified. We got another reclass where a kid's going to skip his senior year and come in early, which is absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. But tell me about him.
So Sonny Styles, the kid, he's a DB, but I think he's going to grow into a linebacker. Five-star kid. He was top 10 in the class of 2023, has officially reclassified. He's from Pickerington Central, I believe.
Yep.
And he will be playing. So he's reclassified. He'll sign on December 15th. But he won't be on campus till the summertime. His brother plays for Notre Dame. His dad's a former Buckeye. He's considered by a lot. A lot of people have said he's the best prospect in the state. I'm not so sure because I know CJ Hicks is a star. This will be different from the Quinn Ewers thing. I don't love when kids come early, but he feels like he's ready to play. His body type is that of a senior, and 247 actually ranked him his junior tape against the senior tapes that are out there, and they still put him inside the top 30, which is impressive, and he will earn that fifth star. And he's actually rated higher than the Iowa kid who just committed to Iowa that maybe Kerry Combs is leaving. But yeah, Styles is going to be a Buckeye. It's going to be interesting. I hope he stays a safety, but he could grow down to be a linebacker. And I was toying with this a little bit yesterday, and I think that it'll be okay. It'll work out. Because the one thing that's important is Josh Proctor will be back next year. And so I think the kid knows he will not be get significant playing time. And additionally, he's not getting in after camp already is well underway. He'll be getting in kind of with the rest of the 2022 class.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to me. The kid's not going to play as a freshman. Freshmen rarely do. I mean, Denzel Burke is a rarity in the world of college football. So maybe, I haven't studied his tape, but I will watch his film now that he did this because I don't understand the urgency. Like, why not enjoy your senior year, another year to get stronger, faster, and and not start your clock in college. Like I don't understand it, but it's probably NIL oriented. Honestly, he probably wants to make some money.
I don't think he'll be a safety in college. The more I think about it, so maybe
he wants even more argument to the case to stay in high school. Like if you're going to be a linebacker or even a big safety, like a drop down safety, why not train for an extra year? And I'm a huge fan of kids coming in early, like in January, not a year early. Right. I'm a huge fan of kids coming in January, getting a winter program under their belt, spring ball, summer. I mean, then they are more like vets when the season comes around than a normal true freshman. But you come in a year early, like for what? Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. But
he's 6'4", 215. There's no way he stays at safety, right?
No, he'll be 225. He'll sneeze and be 225 once Mickey gets a hold of him.
Yeah, there's no way he can stay at safety.
No, if he's 6'4", 215, that kid's going to be probably a walkout linebacker. Mm-hmm. Especially if he's that athletic. Yeah, he'll definitely not be a safety. Or he's going to have to like actively try to not gain weight. Like he's going to have to diet and do things to stay at 215. 215 is already a monster safety.
Yeah, that's already really, really big. I do want to enter the rumor mill, something that caught my attention as someone who's really a nerd for this Ohio State football stuff. Ohio State already put out the Chris Olave highlight tape before the bowl game, Zach. And traditionally, they wait till January 20th or further to put those out. Same for Garrett Wilson. They didn't put one out for Garrett Wilson. I'm not saying when those years, Garrett Wilson's – everyone got theirs after the bowl game. And so I think it's interesting that Chris's came out early. Could that be a hint that he's not going to play in the bowl game?
I mean, I think it definitely is. Why else would you put out it? Why else would you spend the time to make an extensive highlight tape if he has one more game of highlights to include, right? Mm-hmm. And people will say, oh, you can just add them on. No, that's not how these people do it, right? They're artistic. Like they put plays in certain places because they, you know, they fit the movie, right?
Yeah, they overlap a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they would not put it like spend the time to make his career or season highlight tape now if he was going to play another game. I really don't think so. So I think I'm not calling that he's not going to play. I mean, I certainly could text his parents and see, but I think this is telling. I think one, if I was that kid, I would not play. There's no reason to let the young kids, let Emeka Egbuka and Julian Fleming and Marvin Harrison Jr. Let them go get those reps. I already talked about it. Like Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave should not play. They should just let those young kids play. Ohio State won't lose because they don't play. Let's put it that way. And they got through the season healthy. Both of them had great years, but I think it is. I think it's telling, or at least it's a hint. It's a hint that might be what happened. And I've said, you know, people don't want to listen to it, but anytime I say anything that's not overly positive about the Buckeyes, people like don't want to hear it or tell me I'm an idiot. But I believe you'll have three kids sit out this bowl game. I do, because that's the trend in college football, and this team has a different culture than the 2015 team. It just does. You could see it when Chris or CJ Stroud talks to the media, like the culture in that locker room. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just different than it was in 2015. When
last time we were in a Rose Bowl, not everybody played. Like the Denzel Ward sat out, so we got to see our first, you know, extensive Jeff Okuda.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right. Like, guys will sit out. It's just how it is.
Yeah, they'll definitely sit out. So, I think that's the reality. I think that probably does happen, and I think that is telling that they put the highlight tape out for sure.
Mm-hmm. And this is the final thing, a little bit of housekeeping as well. So, Ohio is finally about to legalize sports betting. Fucking finally. Latest to the party, but here we are. And so now, more than ever, it's important to get locked in with Menace 2 Picks. Zach, tell us how.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, most people have told me, man, when Ohio legalizes sports betting, I am in. Because I built a handicapping team, right? It's about seven people, all have different value and different skills and tools, right? And different analytics. And we handicap all sports. It's not just football, basketball. But I mean, we do hockey. We do soccer. I mean, soccer is huge over European, Premier League and all that shit. So it's the best of the best. If you and it's not, it's a lot of times tracked as a system, but it's really advice is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like when they put out the daily card, like obviously a lot of time spent, a lot of analytics run, and they put out a card. It's like here's our favorite bets. Here's what we love. Right. Here's the best bets we have. And then you take those and play them how you want. Like I don't follow them to a T, but I use them. I don't place a bet until I get the card. And it's only $25 a month. I mean, what are we talking about? You talk about a value. Most handicapping services are out there for, you know, $200 a month or like $1,000 for the football season, just insane prices. So Sports gambling is legal, finally, in the state of Ohio. Will go into effect very soon, so get locked up at Menace to Picks, patreon.com/menace2picks, the number two, for it's $15 a month for Infinity Locks only, $25 a month for mainstream sports, and then $40 a month if you want to get soccer and props and all the exotics. And then we just launched, I think it's 75, I'd have to look, $75 a month. We have a war room on Telegram. Let's where go. you're in the war room with the handicapping, well, just the lead handicappers, not the whole team's in there, but our lead handicappers for horse racing, everything, props, main sports, whatever, you're in there. And I mean, you're having discussions all day long and you're asking them, what about this game? What about this game? And they're answering. So the war room's popping off. If you're interested, go to Menace to Picks on Patreon, get signed up, because we got gambling coming to the state of Ohio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, that's all I got for today, Zach. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it, man. I appreciate y'all. We'll see you. We got a show. How about this, Chris? I got a show coming out today, and it's going to be kind of a state of college football, right? Oh, like the perfect. State of the Union address, the perfect. State of college football, and my guy, Netflix U's own Coach JB, the real Let's Coach go. JB is Let's coming go. On, and we're going to address the country. And the state of college football this afternoon, coming to you hot on Menace to Sports. We appreciate you. Menace out.
Menace out.
Menace Nation, it's Menace morning time.
Wake them up, wake them up, wake them up, wake them up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera, hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big,
couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on egg today.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord, I beat the case.